welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Tuesday, March 15th, and we had 9 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Cleveland, the Cavaliers defeated the Clippers in overtime, 120-111. In Atlanta, the Hawks defeated the Trailblazers, 122-113. In Philadelphia, the frontrunners for MVP, Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, matched up, and the Nuggets got the better of the 76ers, 114-110. In Oklahoma City, the Hornets defeated the Thunder, 134-116. In San Antonio, the Timberwolves beat the Spurs, 149-139. In San Francisco, the Warriors beat the Wizards, 126-112. In Sacramento, the Kings beat the Bulls, 112-103. In Utah, the Bucks defeated the Jazz, 117-111. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Raptors beat the Lakers, 114-103. So we will break down all 9 of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers defeated the Clippers, 120-111. The Cavs were led by the rookie Evan Mobley. It was a career-high 30 points, and he also chipped in with 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And they also got 24 points and 13 assists from Darius Garland and 20 points from the sophomore Isaac Okoro. Whereas the Clippers were led by Ivica Zubac, the big man had a big double-double, 24 points and 14 rebounds. And they also got 18 and 10 from Terrence Mann and 19 points in the starting lineup from Amir Coffey. But unfortunately for the Clippers, they just could not keep up with the Cavaliers in the second half specifically. They were neck and neck up until about halftime, but then in the third quarter is when the Cavaliers started to pull away. Although midway through the third quarter, it was still the Clippers who were in control. After a two-pointer from Terrence Mann, the Clips were up 73-66. But that's about when things started to fall apart for the Clippers. The Cavaliers would ultimately outscore LA 31-24 in the third, and then in the fourth quarter, they were in control throughout the majority. They had about a 10-point lead throughout portions of the fourth quarter. Darius Garland had a 16-footer with about 6 minutes to go that put the Cavaliers up 98-89. But then finally, the Clips fought back at the very end of the fourth quarter. The Cavaliers' offense sort of stagnated there for a period of a couple of minutes near the end of the fourth, and they allowed the Clips to not only get back into this game, they tied it up. It was 106-all at the end of regulation after some free throws from Amir Coffey with just 30 seconds to go. But then in overtime, the Cavaliers once again established a pretty significant lead. They outscored the Clippers 14-5 overall in the extra 5 minutes. Lauri Markkanen had a timely 3-pointer with 54 seconds to go that extended the lead for the Cavs to 7. It was 118-111. So a really gutsy win here for the Cavaliers, ultimately pulling away in overtime. And it was the 3-point shooting that allowed them to separate themselves from the Clippers. They were 47% from the field, 50% from 3. That's always a good sign when you shoot better from 3 than you do from the field overall. The Clippers were just 43% from the field and 33% from 3. So that was a pretty huge gap there, the 3-point shooting. Otherwise, the teams were pretty close in all of the other categories. So with this win, the Cavaliers now improved to 39-29. So that is good for 6th in the Eastern Conference. They're 1.5 games behind the Celtics in 5th, and they're 1 game up on the Toronto Raptors in 7th. And the Cavaliers are plus 3.1 in the point differential, which is still 4th best in the conference, but they're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Clippers, this loss takes them to 36-35. So they're down in 8th in the Western Conference. Although they're kind of on an island there in the 8th spot because they are 4.5 games behind the Timberwolves in 7th, and then they're 5.5 games up on the Lakers in 9th. So it doesn't look likely at this point that the Clippers will be moving up or down from that 8th seed, which is a kind of precarious position because on the one hand, they get 2 games to win just 1 in the play-in game, but on the other hand, they don't have home court advantage in the first one, and then if they lose that, they'll have to either play the Lakers or probably the Pelicans in the second game, but the problem is that the Lakers could have Anthony Davis back and the Pelicans could have Zion Williamson back, so it is going to be fascinating to see which of these guys that are currently out in the Western Conference specifically will be able to make it back in time for the playoffs. You've got Chris Paul missing for the Suns, you've got Dylan Brooks who just recently returned for the Grizzlies, as did Draymond Green. You've got a couple of guys who are in and out of the lineup in Utah. Denver, of course, is still missing Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So it is going to be an interesting first couple of rounds for the playoffs with some of these guys potentially making their returns. But nonetheless, the Clippers find themselves in 8th, like I said before. They've got a negative 0.8 point differential and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Clippers were led, as I mentioned, by Ivica Zubac. He has been on fire lately. He had a big double-double once again. 24 points, 14 rebounds on a very efficient 10 of 15 shooting in 36 minutes, and he was also perfect from the free throw line, 4 of 4. He also had 4 assists and 2 blocks as well. He did foul out of the game, but nonetheless, he was plus 1 in the plus minus, which was actually the only positive in the starting lineup. They also got a double-double from Terrence Mann, 18 points and 10 rebounds in 45 minutes, although he was much less efficient, 7 of 21 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Then they got 19 points from Amir Coffey. He was not very efficient either, 7 of 20 from the field, although he had 4 3-pointers, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. 14 for Luke Kennard. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 4 assists. And Nick Batum rounding out the starting lineup. There was no Marcus Morris in this game. He rested, as did Reggie Jackson. So Batum had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And off the bench for the Clippers, 4 players saw the court. Brandon Boston Jr., the rookie, led the way in scoring. He had 11 points in 21 minutes. He had 2 threes and 3 assists. They got 10 points from Isaiah Hartenstein, the backup big man, and he was perfect, 5 of 5 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they got 9 points from Simi Ojeleye in 20 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from the field. And Rodney Hood saw the court for 11 minutes, but he did not score. And as for the Cavaliers, they were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie Evan Mobley, a career high, 30 points in 40 minutes. As some of these other rookies like Cade Cunningham and Scottie Barnes have been putting up big lines recently, Mobley has just steadily been putting up consistent production, playing excellent defense for this very capable Cavaliers team. So despite the fact that these other guys have been putting up big numbers lately, I think it's still Mobley's award to lose, the rookie of the year. So he was 13 of 22 from the field in this game. He had 1 3-pointer, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Then they also got a double-double from Darius Garland, 24 points and 13 assists, although for the second game in a row, he was not very efficient, 8 of 21 from the field. He had 3 turnovers. He did have 4 3-pointers, though, and he was plus 11 in the plus-minus. The team high in that regard was Isaac Okoro. He had 20 points, and he was plus 21 in his 39 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field, 11 of 13 from the free throw line. That is an interesting dichotomy there, taking way more free throws than field goal attempts. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 17 points for Lauri Markkanen. He was very efficient, 5 of 9 from the field, including 4 3-pointers. He had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And 5 points for Lamar Stevens, rounding out the starting lineup in 13 minutes. And off the bench for the Cavs, they got 13 points from the veteran Kevin Love in 18 minutes. He had 3 3-pointers, 9 rebounds. 11 points for Caris LeVert. In 25 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Cavaliers. Dylan Windler and Brandon Goodwin saw the court for 12 minutes each, but neither of them were able to score a single field goal. All right, next up we can move on to Atlanta, where the Hawks defeated the Portland Trailblazers 122-113. The Hawks were led by Trae Young, who has been on fire lately, and he was incredible once again in this game. 46 points in 39 minutes. He had 5 3-pointers, 12 assists, 6 rebounds. Incredible production from Young. And then they also got 20 points from DeAndre Hunter and 14 from Kevin Huerter. They are still missing John Collins. Whereas the Trailblazers were led by Josh Hart once again, following up his incredible performance in their last game. He had 31 in this one, including 4 3-pointers. And then they also got 22 from Trendon Watford. He's been playing well recently as well. And then a double-double for Drew Eubanks, 16 points and 10 rebounds. And they also got 20 points from Brandon Williams. So this ragtag group for the Portland Trailblazers has been plucky lately, but at a certain point, there's just a pretty significant talent deficit, and it was the fourth quarter when they started to fall behind in this game. They were actually leading pretty significantly at the end of the second, beginning of the third quarters. In fact, after a Drew Eubanks 7-foot hook shot with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, they were up 73-58. It was a 15-point game, but then they fell apart throughout the rest of the third quarter. Ultimately, they were outscored 31-17. The Hawks came storming back in the third, and then they were leading throughout the majority of the fourth quarter, but the Trailblazers definitely gave them a run for their money after a 3-pointer from Brandon Williams with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It was just a 1-point game. It was 104-103. But the Hawks finally took control at the end of this game. DeAndre Hunter hit back-to-back buckets. It was a 3-pointer with 1:31 left on the clock, and then a 9-footer with 44 seconds left. So it was a good effort by the Trailblazers, but ultimately the Hawks were just too good. Although, now that I say that, there's pretty much one category in which the Hawks were totally dominant. All the others, the Trailblazers were actually the leaders. So they shot 50% from the field and 41% from three, whereas the Hawks were pretty much ice cold, 36% from the field for them and 25% from three. And then the rebounding was also heavily in favor of the Trailblazers. So Portland really played well, except for the turnovers. They were extremely sloppy with the ball. They had 21 turnovers, whereas the Hawks, incredible, 4 turnovers. I cannot remember such a huge dichotomy. The Hawks were just exceedingly careful with the ball handling. Trae Young's 3, and then Lou Williams had 1 off the bench in 16 minutes. Otherwise, they had not a single turnover. That is incredible. And ultimately, that really helped them get back into this game in that third quarter comeback. So with this victory, the Hawks now improve to 34-34. So they're at 500 in the middle of the Eastern Conference. They're in 9th, and they are 1 game behind the Brooklyn Nets in 8th. And then now they are half a game up on the Charlotte Hornets in 10th. So finally, the Hawks have moved up past the Hornets. They are plus 0.8 in the point differential, which is, in fact, better than the Nets in 8th. And they are on a 3-game win streak. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. So maybe the Hawks have finally snapped into gear here after a very disappointing start to the season. As for the Trailblazers, this loss takes them to 26-41. So they're down in 11th in the West. They are 1.5 games now behind the Pelicans in 10th, and they're 1 game up on the Spurs in 12th. And the Blazers are negative 6.3 in the point differential. That is rough. That is clearly 3rd worst in the Western Conference. In fact, it's 5th worst in the entire NBA. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and Portland was led, as I mentioned, by Josh Hart. He has been on fire lately. He had 31 points in this game in 38 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field, 4 three-pointers, 4 assists, 7 rebounds. He was negative 10 in the plus-minus, though. The team high in that regard was actually Drew Eubanks. He was the only starter to be positive. He was plus 10 in his 30 minutes. He had a double-double, 16 points, 10 rebounds. He was 7 of 10 from the field, so solid efficiency for Eubanks. He had 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 turnovers, but nonetheless, really solid stuff for Eubanks. And considering that it doesn't look like Jusuf Nurkić is going to be coming back anytime soon with that plantar fasciitis, I don't see any reason why Eubanks wouldn't be a really solid pickup heading into the fantasy playoffs here. As for the rest of the starters, they got 22 points from Trendon Watford. He's also been putting up really solid numbers as a starter. He had 22 points in 39 minutes. He was 9 of 19 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 blocks. And then they got 20 points from Brandon Williams in 36 minutes. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block, although he did have 5 turnovers. And then 6 points for CJ Ellaby rounding out the starting lineup in 29 minutes. He only took 2 shots the whole game. He was 1 of 2 from the field, but he had 13 rebounds and 5 assists. And off the bench for the Trailblazers, they got 8 points from Elijah Hughes in 13 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from the field. 6 points for Keon Johnson, the rookie. He had 5 rebounds. And then 2 points for Greg Brown III, the other rookie, and 2 points as well for Chris Dunn, the recent acquisition. But as for the Hawks, they were led, of course, by Trae Young. He was incredible. 46 points in 39 minutes. He was a bit overshadowed by some of the other guys in the league last night. But nonetheless, he was fantastic. He was 15 of 31 from the field, 5 three-pointers, and perfect 11 of 11 from the free throw line. That is just incredible stuff. He had 6 rebounds as well, 12 assists, and 1 steal. He was plus 10 in the plus-minus. In fact, all 5 starters for the Hawks were at least plus 10 in the plus-minus. They also got 20 points from DeAndre Hunter in 34 minutes. He was 6 of 17 from the field, so not quite as efficient. But he had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then 14 points for Kevin Huerter in 36 minutes. He was 6 of 15 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. 8 points for Clint Capella, the big man, in 28 minutes. He was uncharacteristically inefficient, 4 of 12 from the field, but he did have 16 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And 4 points for DeLon Wright rounding out the starting lineup. In 30 minutes, he was 0 of 3 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, though. And off the bench for the Hawks, they got 12 points from Onyeka Okongwu, the backup big man, in 20 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds. 9 points for Bogdan Bogdanovic in 24 minutes. He was ice cold in this game, 2 of 13 from the field. He had 6 assists, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals, though. And then 5 points for Timothy Luau-Cabarrot in 8 minutes, and 4 points for Lou Williams in 16 minutes. Kevin Knox was 0 of 3 from the field in 7 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to Philadelphia, where the 76ers were defeated by the Denver Nuggets, 114-110. This was the MVP matchup we've all been waiting for, Jokic going up against Embiid, the two centers. And Jokic got the better of Embiid in this game, and he led his team in points, rebounds, and assists. He had 22, 13, and 8, and he also had two steals and two blocks. Incredible production from a fantasy perspective from Jokic, and from a on-court basketball perspective as well, getting the win. And then they also got 21 off the bench from the rookie Bones Highland. He had 4 three-pointers and 20 points in the starting lineup from Will Barton. Whereas the 76ers were led by Joel Embiid, he had 34 points and 9 rebounds. And then they got a big double-double from James Harden, 24 and 11, and 19 points from Tyrese Maxey. But this was a close one in the end. It was back and forth down the stretch. It was actually the 76ers who were leading pretty significantly early on. They had outscored the Nuggets 37-22 in the first quarter. So they had a 15-point advantage heading into the second, but then they pretty much completely squandered it in the second as the Nuggets came storming back and they outscored the 76ers 31-21. So just like that, the Nuggets were right back in this game. And then it was pretty much back and forth throughout the entire second half. The 76ers had about a 5-point lead at the end of the third going into the fourth. In fact, it was up to 7 by the end of the third quarter. It was 88-81. But then the Nuggets really dominated that fourth period. They once again outscored the 76ers, this time 33-22, and they were able to hold on to that lead in the end. Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid were obviously going at one another throughout this entire game. There was a couple of key possessions down the stretch. At one point, Joel Embiid went up for a layup. He was right next to the basket. He was trying to draw contact on Jokic, but they didn't call anything. He missed it, and the Nuggets come streaking down the court. Nikola Jokic gets the ball once again, and he puts up this crazy falling away circus shot. He thinks he gets contact on Embiid. Nothing gets called, but he nails this crazy shot falling out of bounds. But the 76ers definitely had a chance in the end. With 17 seconds left, Tyrese Maxey had a clutch layup off of a Tobias Harris assist that cut the deficit to 2. It was 110-112. So then they foul Will Barton. He goes to the line, he misses the first, and he makes the second. So that makes it a 3-point game with 14 seconds to go. George Niang has a shot at a 3-pointer, but he misses it. And then they get Nikola Jokic at the free throw line. He makes the first, but then he misses the second. So then it's a 4-point game. That's all he really needed is 1 of 2 at that point. And that was pretty much all she wrote for this game. So a really impressive victory for the Nuggets on the road in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid came into the game as the favorite for MVP in terms of the Vegas odds. He was minus 120, whereas Jokic was plus 140. So we'll see if that swaps at some point. Perhaps Jokic will become the favorite again to win his second consecutive MVP. We shall see. And overall, the Nuggets shot very efficiently in this game. They were 53% from the field, 39% from three, whereas the 76ers were 42% from the field, 36% from three. That was pretty much the big difference maker in this one, as the rebounding and the turnovers were pretty similar. So with this win, the Nuggets now improved to 41-28. So that is good for sixth still in the Western Conference. They are 1.5 games behind the Mavericks in fifth and 1.5 games up on the Timberwolves in seventh. The Nuggets are +2.6 in the point differential. That's actually seventh best in the West, but they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the 76ers, this loss takes them to 41-26. So they're in third in the East, 1 game behind the Bucks in second, and just 0.5 game up on the Bulls in fourth. And the 76ers are +1.8 in the point differential, which is worse than a couple teams below them. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And Denver was led, as I mentioned, by Nikola Jokic. He only had 22 points. He was 8 of 16 from the field, but he had 13 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He was 1 of 3 from beyond the arc. He did have 5 turnovers. He was -9 in the plus-minus, but nonetheless, he got a couple of timely buckets at the end of this game, like I mentioned, and the production was still pretty impressive, nearly a triple-double with 4 combined steals and blocks. But as for the rest of the starters, they got 20 points from Will Barton in 32 minutes. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. 11 points from Monty Morris in 34 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 6 assists. 6 points for Jeff Green in 21 minutes. He was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And 7 points for Aaron Gordon. He only played 20 minutes, though. He was negative 13 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. In fact, all 5 of the starters were negative in the plus-minus, whereas all 5 of the guys off the bench for the Nuggets were positive. So moving along to the bench, and they were led by Bones Highland, the rookie. He had 21 points in 31 minutes. He also had a clutch three-pointer with 1:52 left on the clock in the fourth quarter. It was a go-ahead three at the end of this game. He was 4 of 9 from the three-point line overall, and he also had 4 rebounds and 2 assists. And he was plus 16 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. Incredible stuff for the rookie Highland. And then they also got 10 points from Jamichael Green. He was 5 of 6 from the field. He had 8 rebounds. 8 points for DeMarcus Cousins, the backup big man. He got into it at one point with James Harden. They got double technicals. He was 3 of 6 from the field overall. He had 4 assists. And then they also got 5 points from Bryn Forbes and 4 points from Austin Rivers. Whereas the 76ers were led by Joel Embiid, of course. He had 34 points in 36 minutes. He was 11 of 20 from the field, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, and a perfect 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. So really incredible scoring from Embiid. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks as well. He did have 5 turnovers, but nonetheless, that is really solid production from Embiid. The rest of the starters, they got 24 and 11 from James Harden in 39 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field and 11 of 12 from the free throw line. So that's pretty solid as well. Those two going a combined 20 of 22 from the free throw line. You just can't argue with that. And Harden also had 1 block, although he had 4 turnovers. So you love the free throws from the two stars, Embiid and Harden, but the turnovers, 9 combined, is definitely something they need to improve on going forwards. Tyrese Maxey, the sophomore, had 19 points in 42 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 10 points for Tobias Harris in 37 minutes. He had 7 rebounds. And 9 points for Matisse Thybul in 26 minutes, and he stuffed the stat sheet. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 steals, and 2 blocks. Incredible stuff, and he was the team high plus 16 in the plus minus. And off the bench for Philadelphia, they got 8 points from George Niang. He was ice cold in this game overall, though, 2 of 12 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. He was negative 19 in the plus minus. That was by far the team low. And then they didn't get much else from the rest of the bench. DeAndre Jordan was 1 of 6 from the field in 12 minutes. He had 3 points. Shake Milton had 3 points. And Danny Green was 0 of 5 from the field in 14 minutes. He did not score at all. All right, next up we can move on to Oklahoma City, where the Thunder were defeated by the Charlotte Hornets, 134-116. The Hornets were led by Terry Rozier. He had 30 points. He was 11 of 17 from the field. And then they also got 27 points from Miles Bridges. He was 11 of 15 from the field. Incredible efficiency for those two. And then the sophomore LaMelo Ball had 21 points and 7 assists. Whereas the Thunder were led by who else but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He had 32 points. He was also very efficient, 12 of 20 from the field. And then they also got 25 points from Darius Bazley in the starting lineup and 17 points off the bench from Alexei Pokuševski. And the Thunder were actually leading at the beginning of this game. They had outscored the Hornets 41-29 in the first. So they had a pretty significant lead, a double-digit lead at the beginning of the second quarter. But then things went downhill from there. They were outscored in the second 36-23. So the Hornets not only closed that gap, but took a 1-point lead heading into the half. And then in the third quarter, their dominance continued. They outscored the Thunder 37-27. So just like that, they turned a double-digit deficit into a double-digit lead heading into the fourth quarter. It was 102-91. And then they pretty much cruised to an easy victory in the fourth. And the shooting was heavily in favor of the Hornets. They were on fire in this game. 53% from the field, 57% from three. That is absurd. And to make matters worse for the Thunder, the Hornets only coughed the ball up 5 times. So incredibly tidy ball handling for Charlotte, incredibly efficient shooting, whereas the Thunder were 46% from the field, 36% from three, and they had 18 turnovers. So it's really a marvel that this game wasn't even more of a blowout considering those huge disparities, especially the three-point shooting and the turnovers. Although, to be fair, the Thunder did have a significant edge on the boards. They out-rebounded the Hornets 49-37. So in the end, a comfortable win for the Hornets. They improved now to 34-35, so they are in 10th in the Eastern Conference, just half a game behind the Hawks in 9th, and 4 games up on the Wizards in 11th. So it doesn't look like anybody from that top 10 is going to be falling out anytime soon, at least. The Hornets are 0.0 in the point differential, exactly neutral, which is actually better than the Nets ahead of them. And they're on a 2-game winning streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Thunder, this loss takes them to 20-48, so they're down in 14th in the Western Conference, 4 games behind the Kings in 13th, and 3 games up on the Rockets in last. And the Thunder are just 2-8 in their last 10 games, they're on a 6-game losing streak, and their negative 7.9 point differential is second worst in the West. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Hornets were led, as I mentioned, by Terry Rozier and Miles Bridges, both of whom were incredible in this game. They went a combined 22 of 32 from the field. That is absurd. Rozier had 30 points in 32 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, and he had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And Bridges had 27 points in 30 minutes. He was 11 of 15 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3. Incredible. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. Then they also got 21 from LaMelo Ball in 30 minutes. He was 6 of 13 from the field. He was 5 of 8 from 3. And he had 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. 6 points for P.J. Washington. He was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 steals. And 5 points for Mason Plumlee, rounding out the starting lineup. And he stuffed the stat sheet. 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. And off the bench for the Hornets, they really didn't need much help because their starters were so incredible. But they did get 12 points from their recent acquisition, Isaiah Thomas, in 17 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. All of his makes came from beyond the arc, and he also had 4 assists. And then they also got 11 points from Cody Martin in 21 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 3 steals. 11 points as well for Kelly Oubre Jr., 5 points for Montrezl Harrell in 18 minutes, and then 2 for Nick Richards, JT Thor, and Jalen McDaniels. As for the Thunder, they were led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He had 32 points in 36 minutes. He was 12 of 20 from the field, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc, and he had 8 rebounds and 5 assists. Then they also got 25 points from Darius Bazley. He was 10 of 18 from the field, and he had 4 threes. He had 4 rebounds and 4 assists as well. And then 13 points for the rookie point guard, Trey Mann. With Josh Giddey out, he's been getting a look at the starting point guard spot, man. And he's been okay. He was not very efficient in this game, though. 4 of 12 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. 7 points for Olivier Saar in 32 minutes. The other rookie, he had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, as JRE, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, has also been out recently. Théo Maledon also in the starting lineup, as Lu Dort is also out. Maledon had 6 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. And off the bench, the Thunder got 17 points from the sophomore, Alexei Pokuševski. In 27 minutes, he was 6 of 11 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, although he also had 6 turnovers. 12 points for Vit Krejci in 15 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from 3. And 4 points for Lindy Waters. He was 2 of 8 from the field, though. Isaiah Roby saw the court for 10 minutes, but he didn't even attempt a shot or a free throw. All right, next up we can move on to San Antonio, where the Spurs were defeated by the Minnesota Timberwolves, 149-139. An incredible offensive show by the Timberwolves, and specifically Karl-Anthony Towns. He hit a NBA season high 60 points. Not only his career high, not only the highest of any player in the season thus far, but a new franchise record for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He beat his own record. An incredible performance. He had 32 points in one quarter. He had 17 rebounds, so it's the first 60-point, 15-rebound game for a center since Shaq, and the only other one was Wilt Chamberlain. So pretty good company there for Karl Towns. He was 19 of 31 from the field, 7 of 11 from 3, and 15 of 16 from the free throw line. He was just incredible in this game, and the Wolves needed every point that he gave them because this was a hard-fought win, a high-scoring game, obviously. They also got 20 points from Patrick Beverley, the veteran point guard, and 19 from D'Angelo Russell. Whereas the Spurs were led by Keldon Johnson, he had 34 points in the starting lineup. He was 13 of 21 from the field. He had 5 threes. He is impressively shooting like 40% from 3 this season. Then they also got 30 points and 12 assists from DeJounte Murray, 22 points off the bench from Lonnie Walker, and the big man Jakob Poeltl had 21. But like I said, this was a pretty close game throughout. The Timberwolves needed all of those 60 points from Towns. It was the third quarter that separated them from the Spurs. They outscored the Spurs 46-33 in that third quarter. So it was a double-digit lead heading into the fourth quarter, but the Spurs stuck around. They wouldn't allow the Timberwolves to really blow the doors off this game, and they were in contention throughout. Like I said, they had outscored the Timberwolves 41-35 themselves in the second quarter. And unsurprisingly, considering the scoreline, they were really hot from the field, 53%, from 3, 37%. But the Wolves were just too good. They were 57% from the field, 51% from 3. So all in all, there was some pretty incredible offensive displays in the NBA last night, from the Hornets to the Timberwolves, and then we'll get to the Warriors in a little bit. But nonetheless, this win for Minnesota takes them to 40-30. So they are still in 7th in the Western Conference, 1.5 games below the Nuggets in 6th, and 4.5 games up on the Clippers in 8th. And they are actually plus 3.1 in the point differential. That's tied with the Mavericks for 5th best in the West, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. So I don't know if they're going to be able to catch the Nuggets in sixth because they've been playing very well also. But nonetheless, the Timberwolves really separating themselves from that bottom tier in the Western Conference. Even though there's a top six and then it's the play-in game, the Timberwolves really look more like those top six teams in terms of the quality of play recently. So good stuff for them. As for the Spurs, this loss takes them to 26-43. So they're down in 12th in the West. They are one game behind the Trailblazers in 11th. And then they are 1.5 games up on the Kings in 13th. And the Spurs are negative 0.6 in the point differential, which has been better than several teams ahead of them for a while, but they are 3-7 in their last 10, and they're on a two-game losing streak. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Wolves were, of course, led by Karl-Anthony Towns, a season high for any player this season so far. 60 points in 36 minutes. He was obviously just on fire. 19 of 31 from the field, 7 of 11 from 3, and 15 of 16 from the free throw line. And then he also had 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He did have 6 turnovers, but still, he was plus 16 in the plus-minus, which was the team high for the Wolves. Incredible stuff for Kat. Then they also got 20 points from Patrick Beverley in 30 minutes. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. 19 points for D'Angelo Russell in 29 minutes. He was 8 of 12 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 6 assists, 3 steals. 11 points for Jaden McDaniels in 32 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And Anthony Edwards, rounding out the starting lineup, had an off night, just 5 points on 2 of 7 shooting. He had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. But off the bench for the Wolves, they got 15 points from Jalen Noel. He was 6 of 8 from the field in 26 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists. 13 points for Torian Prince. He was 5 of 9 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, so really solid production from those two, Prince and Noel, off the bench for Minnesota. And then they just got 6 points from Nathan Knight in 8 minutes. Malik Beasley, peculiarly, was 0 of 1 from the field. He didn't score at all. He had 0 rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, turnovers, free throw attempts. He did almost nothing in the box score in 19 minutes, which is, I said peculiar because he's been on fire lately. He set the Timberwolves franchise record for three-pointers made the other day, so I don't know if he's, like, mad that he got sent back to the bench or what, but he did absolutely nothing in this game. As for the Spurs, they were led, as I mentioned, by Keldon Johnson. 34 points in 37 minutes. He was on fire in this game. 13 of 21 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, although he was negative 18 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. A big double-double for DeJounte Murray. 30 points and 12 assists in 36 minutes. He was 10 of 20 from the field, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. He did have 5 turnovers. 21 points for Jakob Poeltl. In 29 minutes, the big man, he was 9 of 12 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 blocks. 17 for Devin Vassell, the sophomore. In 31 minutes, he was 6 of 12 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Nice production throughout the box score for Vassell. And Josh Richardson rounding out the starting lineup. He just had 2 points in 23 minutes. And off the bench for the Spurs, they got 22 points from Lonnie Walker in 26 minutes. He was 8 of 12 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. 5 points for Zach Collins, the backup big man. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 blocks in just 19 minutes. And then 3 points for Jock Landale in just 3 minutes. 2 points for the sophomore backup point guard Trey Jones. He had 7 assists in 16 minutes. And 3 points for the rookie Josh Primo in 17 minutes. All right, moving along to San Francisco, where the Warriors easily defeated the Wizards, 126-112. The Warriors were led by Steph Curry. He had an incredible performance, 47 points. He's like the third player from last night to score at least 45 points. He also had, 6 rebounds and 6 assists and 7 three-pointers. And then they also got 20 points from the other two guards that are making up this three-guard lineup now for the Warriors, Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole. They both had 20. Thompson was 7 of 19 from the field. Poole was 7 of 13. Whereas the Wizards were led by Kristaps Porzingis, their new addition. He has made an impact for the Wizards since joining the rotation. He had 25 points in this game on 7 of 13 shooting. He was 10 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds. And then they also got 19 from KCP and 13 points off the bench from Denny Avdia. But this game was in control for the Warriors pretty early on. They just slowly but surely built up more and more of a lead. It was really the second quarter where things got out of control. They outscored the Wizards 40-27, so it was a double-digit lead by the halftime break. In fact, it was 16 points at that time, and then they basically just maintained that significant lead throughout the entire second half. Draymond Green made his return in this game, and he was dominating in just 20 minutes off the bench. He had 6 points only, but 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and he was a team-high plus 24 in the plus-minus. The team obviously looks much better with him back in the lineup, and hopefully for their sake, going forwards, they can get back to that dominant status that they were at earlier in the season when it was them and the Suns jointly atop the Western Conference. And they were very efficient in this game, 53% from the field, 40% from three. They out-rebounded the Wizards 44-35, and they had 13 turnovers. So a pretty solid game by the Warriors, all things considered. The Wizards weren't bad necessarily. They were 51% from the field and 38% from three, but they were just a little bit worse in several different ways. And like I said, they were never really able to make any headway in that second half. So with this win, the Warriors now improved to 47-22. So that's good for third in the West. But they're just behind the Memphis Grizzlies via tiebreaker. They're both 47-22. So I would imagine going forwards that with Draymond back in the lineup, the Warriors will regain that second seed in the West. They are 4.5 games up on the Jazz and Mavericks in fourth and fifth, and 7.5 games behind the Suns in first. So it looks pretty likely at this point that the Grizzlies and Warriors will be second and third in some order. And they are plus 6.6 in the point differential, which is second best in the entire NBA. They're on a 4-game winning streak now, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Wizards, this loss takes them to 29-38. So they are in 11th in the East, but like I said before, they are 4 games now behind the Hornets in 10th. And they are 1.5 games up on the Knicks in 12th. The Wizards are negative 3.1 in the point differential, which is actually third worst in the entire conference. They're on a 4-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and Kristaps Porzingis led the way for the Wizards. He had 25 points in 27 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Then they also got 19 points from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in 35 minutes. He was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. 11 points for Kyle Kuzma in 31 minutes. He was 4 of 12 from the field, so not the most efficient game for Kuz. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He was negative 16 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. In fact, not a single player on the roster for the Wizards were positive in the plus-minus. The only player that wasn't negative was KCP. He was neutral. Then they also got 8 points from Raul Neto, also in the starting lineup in 22 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals. And 4 points for Corey Kispert in 20 minutes. He had 3 rebounds. And off the bench for Washington, they got 13 points from Denny Avdia in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. 12 points for Rui Hachimura. He was 5 of 7 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 3 rebounds. 11 points for Ish Smith. He was less efficient, though. 4 of 12 from the field. He did have 7 assists, though. And 9 points for Daniel Gafford in 21 minutes. Anthony Gill and Thomas Satoransky saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. And as for the Warriors, they were led by Steph Curry. 47 points in 35 minutes. He was 16 of 25 from the field, 7 of 14 from 3, and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Insane offense from Steph Curry. He had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. He was plus 17 in the plus minus, which was a starter's high. Contrary to the Wizards, the Warriors only had one player who was negative in the entire roster, and that was Juan Toscano-Anderson. In just 2 minutes, he was negative 1. Everybody else was positive, or at least neutral. Klay Thompson was 0. So moving on to Klay, he had 20 points in 33 minutes. He was 7 of 19 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers and 4 rebounds. And then 20 points as well for Jordan Poole. He was a little bit more efficient, 7 of 13 from the field. He had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. And then 12 points for the rookie, Jonathan Kuminga, in the starting lineup. He was 5 of 8 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And he was really... Oh, sorry. I said earlier that there was only one player that was negative. Kuminga was actually the team low. He was negative 10. So him and JTA were both negative. But nonetheless, Kuminga, I was about to say, he's been making an impact for the Warriors. Despite that negative plus minus, he still stuffed the stat sheet. And I think going forwards, especially in the playoffs, he's going to be an integral part of their rotation. And they also got 4 points from Kevon Looney rounding out the starting lineup. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Off the bench for Golden State, they got 7 points from Nemanja Bjelica and Otto Porter, their two veterans off the bench. Bjelica was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they also got 6 points from Draymond Green. Like I mentioned, he made his return. Only played 20 minutes in this game. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. He was the team high plus 24. Like I said, immediately making an impact for the Warriors. And then 3 points for the other rookie, Moses Moody. All right, moving along to Sacramento, where the Kings defeated the Chicago Bulls, 112-103. The Bulls were favorites in this one coming into the game. They were -4.5, but the Kings got the upset, and they were led by De'Aaron Fox. He had 34 points. And then they also got 22 from their recent acquisition, Domantas Sabonis. After missing a couple of games, he was back, and he wasn't super efficient overall, but he was 10 of 10 from the free throw line. And then they got 15 points from Dante DiVincenzo in the starting lineup, and he looked pretty good. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. And as for the Bulls, they were led by Zach LaVine. He had 27 points. And then they got 23 and 10 from Nikola Vucevic and 21 from DeMar DeRozan. But he has finally cooled off just a little bit. He was 7 of 17 from the field in this game. And the Kings were in control throughout the majority of regulation. In fact, they led pretty much from the jump and maintained a lead throughout the entire game. But it waxed and waned a little bit. They were up by double digits at the end of the first quarter. It was 27 to 17 heading into the second. And then the Bulls made a little bit of a run at the beginning of the second. But then the Kings started to pull away pretty significantly by the end of the first half. In fact, it was a 20-point game at the half. It was 63-43. The Kings had outscored the Bulls 36-26 in the second. But then in the third, the Bulls started to chip away at that lead just a little bit. They outscored the Kings 34-25. And then they were pretty close at certain points throughout the fourth quarter. Just a couple of minutes into the fourth, with about 8:50 left on the clock, Kobe White nailed a 3-pointer off of a DeMar DeRozan assist. And that cut the deficit to just 3. It was 90-87. So just like that, the Bulls were back into this game. But then from there on out, the Kings reestablished a lead. And by the end, they had bumped it up to nearly 10 points. But it was a shaky end to this one, to be sure, for Sacramento. But in the end, they were able to just hold on and hold off the Bulls. And so they were pretty efficient overall, 47% from the field, 40% from three, whereas Chicago was just 40% from the field and 29% from three. So with this loss, the Bulls now fall to 41-27. So that's good for fourth still in the Eastern Conference, but they're just half a game up now on the Celtics in fifth, and then they're half a game behind the 76ers in third. And the Bulls are plus 1.4 in the point differential, which is the worst out of that group of top seven teams in the Eastern Conference. They're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Kings, this win takes them to 25-45. So they're down in 13th, as I mentioned, 1.5 games behind the Spurs in 12th, and 4 games up on the Thunder in 13th. The Kings are -5.0 in the point differential, which is fourth worst in the conference, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Bulls were led, as I mentioned, by Zach LaVine. 27 points in 36 minutes. He was 8 of 18 from the field, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. 23 and 10 for Nikola Vucevic in 33 minutes. He was 10 of 22 from the field. He had 3 threes and 2 assists. And then 21 points for DeMar DeRozan. He was actually 0 in the plus-minus, so significantly better than the other two members of their big three, Vucevic and LaVine. DeRozan, in 40 minutes, was 7 of 17 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. So the Bulls, as a team, went 21 of 22 from the line. DeRozan had 7 rebounds and 6 assists. And then 6 points for the rookie, Ayo Dosunmu, in 31 minutes. He was 0 of 5 from 3. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And 5 points for Javonte Green in 17 minutes. He had 6 rebounds. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got 13 points from Kobe White in 23 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 3 threes and 3 assists. 6 points for Alex Caruso in just his second game back. He played 27 minutes. He was only 2 of 7 from the field, though. Less impactful this time. And then 2 points for Derek Jones Jr. in 18 minutes. And Tristan Thompson saw the court for 15 minutes, but he didn't even attempt a field goal or a free throw. And as for the Kings, they were led, as I mentioned, by De'Aaron Fox. He has been scoring quite a... effectively over the last couple of weeks, despite the fact that it hasn't really translated to wins. He had 34 points in this game in 42 minutes. He was 13 of 25 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal, although he did have 4 turnovers. And then 22 points for Domantas Sabonis in 38 minutes. He was 6 of 15 from the field, so a bit less efficient than Fox, but he was 10 of 10 from the free throw line, and he had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. He also had 4 turnovers. 15 points for Dante DiVincenzo, as I said, inserted into the starting lineup, and I think the Kings look pretty good with him alongside Fox, frankly. he had been coming off the bench ever since they acquired him from the Bucks, but I didn't really understand that because he's a really, really talented player, but he also just fits nicely next to a ball-dominant guy like De'Aaron Fox. And so anyways, he had 15 points in this game in 35 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 3 threes, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. And then they also got 9 points from Trey Lyles. He had 11 rebounds in 24 minutes. And 6 points for Harrison Barnes in 37 minutes. He was 2 of 8 from the field, but he did have 6 rebounds and 6 assists with 1 steal and 2 blocks. And off the bench for the Kings, they got 16 points from the rookie Davion Mitchell in 26 minutes. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. 10 points for Chimezie Metu in 20 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 3 steals. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for Sacramento. All right, next up, we can move on to Salt Lake City, where the Jazz were defeated by the Milwaukee Bucks, 117-111. The Bucks were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 30 points and 15 rebounds. And then they also got 29 from Jrue Holiday and 23 from Chris Middleton. Brook Lopez made his return after that back injury that's kept him out throughout the majority of the season. He had 6 points in 15 minutes. He was only 1 of 4 from the field, but it'll be really good for the Bucks to have him back in the rotation and hopefully eventually returning to the starting lineup because he's been a core piece of their, especially defense, over the past couple of years. And as for the Jazz, they were led by Donovan Mitchell. He had 29 points in 40 minutes in the starting lineup, although he was not very efficient, 10 of 32 from the field. But on the contrary, his partner in the backcourt, Mike Conley, he was incredibly efficient for 29 points as well. He was 10 of 13. So Conley and Mitchell both had 29 points, but Conley was 10 of 13 and Mitchell was 10 of 32. And then they also got a big double-double from Rudy Gobert, 18 points and 14 rebounds. And this was a close one throughout. It was the Bucks who were leading in the second quarter. It was like the biggest lead of the game when they were, after Jrue Holiday hit a three-pointer, they were up by 12. It was 65-53 with a couple of minutes to go in the second. But that was pretty much the only significant lead of the game. Otherwise, it was pretty close. Well, actually, the Jazz did pull away at one point at the end of the third. It was 89-80 with about 2 minutes to go in the third. But those two stretches were the only times when either team was leading significantly. Otherwise, it was really close throughout. And down the stretch, the Bucks were just able to pull away a little bit. In the final few minutes, Mike Conley hit a three-pointer with about 3.5 minutes to go that cut the deficit to 2. But then Jrue Holiday responded. And then it was pretty much a free-throw shooting contest down the stretch. And the Bucks were able to hold on and get this win. They were 46% from the field in this game, 38% from three, whereas the Jazz were 39% from the field overall and 35% from three. And that was pretty much the only separating factor for these two teams. The turnovers, the rebounds were really similar. And so just that slight edge in terms of the efficiency was what allowed the Bucks to pull away. And so with this victory, Milwaukee now improves to 43-26. So that is good for second place in the Eastern Conference. They are 2 games behind the Miami Heat in first and 1 game up on the 76ers in third. And the Bucks are plus 3.9 in the point differential. That is third best in the conference. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Jazz, this loss takes them to 42-26. So they're still in fourth in the West, but they are just ahead of the Dallas Mavericks via the tiebreaker. Both of those teams are 42-26. And then they are 1.5 games up on the Nuggets in sixth. And like I said, significantly behind the Grizzlies and Warriors in second and third. And the Jazz are 6-4 in their last 10 games. They are plus 6.2 in the point differential, though. That is third best in the entire NBA. But still, the Jazz not exactly looking like a dominant team like they have been over the past couple of years. And it's looking kind of shaky for them in the playoffs. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Bucks were led, as I mentioned, by Giannis. He had 30 points and 15 rebounds in 34 minutes. He was 12 of 24 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. He had 4 assists and 1 steal, just 1 turnover as well. And then they got 29 points from Jrue Holiday in 37 minutes. He was 10 of 21 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 steals. 23 for Chris Middleton. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He also had 2 three-pointers. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. 9 points for Grayson Allen in 24 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. And 7 points for Bobby Portis rounding out the starting lineup. He had 6 rebounds in 28 minutes. And off the bench for the Bucks, like I said, they got 6 points from Brook Lopez in 15 minutes. He was 1 of 4 from the field. 6 points as well for Wesley Matthews in 26 minutes. 5 for Javon Carter, the backup point guard, and 2 for Serge Ibaka, the other backup big man. And as for the Jazz, they were led, as I mentioned, by the backcourt, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, both of whom had 29 points. But Mitchell was not very efficient, 10 of 32 from the field in 40 minutes. He was 5 of 17 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, and 4 turnovers. And then Mike Conley also had 29 points. He was 10 of 13 from the field and 6 of 9 from 3. So incredible for efficiency for Conley. He had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. And then the big double-double for Rudy Gobert, 18 points and 14 rebounds in 32 minutes. He was 6 of 8 from the field, 6 of 8 from the free throw line as well. He had 1 steal. 12 points for Royce O'Neal. He was 4 of 13 from the field, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And there was no Bojan Bogdanović in this game, so Daniel House actually got the start. He only played 7 minutes. He had 3 points in that time. And off the bench for Utah, they got 5 points from Rudy Gay, 8 points from Jordan Clarkson, 3 points for Hassan Whiteside. He had 5 rebounds and 4 steals in just 16 minutes. And then 4 points for Eric Paschal. All right, and finally we can move on to Los Angeles, where the Lakers were once again disappointingly defeated, this time by the Toronto Raptors, 114-103. Gary Trent Jr. led the way for the Raptors. He had 28 points in the starting lineup. He was 11 of 13 from the free throw line. And then they also got a big game from the rookie, Scotty Barnes. He had 21 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and then 27 and 11 from Pascal Siakam. Whereas the Lakers were led by LeBron James, he just continues to chug along despite his team's struggles. He scores efficiently every time. He had 30 points in this game on 11 of 19 shooting. He had 4 three-pointers. He had 9 rebounds. He was really frustrated at certain points throughout this game. At one point, there was a failure to rebound in the paint for the Lakers, and he was like really pissed off at his teammates. He like bounced the ball aggressively a couple times and started yelling at people. So things are really unraveling at this point for the Lakers. They did get 14 points from Russell Westbrook, but he was just 4 of 10 from the field, 20 points off the bench from Talen Horton Tucker. But this was pretty much a blowout. The scoreline doesn't really indicate how dominant this game was for the Raptors. The Lakers were just pathetic in the first quarter. They managed 12 points. They were outscored 33-12 in the first. So this was basically a blowout from the jump. Throughout the first like half of the first quarter, they could only score 2 points with 6:53 to go in the first quarter. It was 19-2 after a layup from Scotty Barnes. And then the Raptors were able to basically maintain a double-digit lead, basically a 20-point lead, throughout the rest of the first half and the third quarter as well. The Lakers finally made a little bit of headway in the fourth quarter. They outscored the Raptors 32-23, but it wasn't garbage time necessarily, but it was basically over. I mean, it was a complete blowout throughout the entire game. So a comfortable win for the Raptors in Los Angeles. And they didn't even shoot the ball that efficiently. They were 40% from the field and 27% from three, but the Lakers were just 39% from the field. They were 31% from three, but they were also completely dominated on the boards. The Raptors out-rebounded the Lakers 64-43. So a really pathetic performance from LA, and they now fall to 29-39 with this loss. So they're down in ninth in the West still, but they're just one game up at this point on the Pelicans in 10th. Abysmal stuff. They probably won't fall into that 10th seed or, God forbid, out of the play-in game, but I mean, if they did, it would just be like a massive embarrassment. They are now 5.5 games behind the Clippers in 8th, and their negative 2.6 point differential is worse than a couple teams below them. They're just 2-8 in their last 10 games. And as for the Raptors, this win takes them to 38-30, so they're up in 7th in the Eastern Conference, one game behind the Cavaliers in 6th, and 3 games up on the Nets in 8th. So the Raptors definitely have a chance to break into that top 6 if they continue playing well. They are on a 4-game winning streak. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They've got a plus 1.6 point differential, which is actually better than the Bulls ahead of them. It's 6th best in the East. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Raptors were led, as I mentioned, by Gary Trent Jr. He had 28 points in 36 minutes. He was 7 of 19 from the field. He had 3 threes. He was 11 of 13 from the free throw line. And he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block, and 0 turnovers. Really good stuff for Gary Trent. And they also got 27 and 11 from Pascal Siakam. He's been just on fire over the past couple of months. He was 9 of 17 from the field in this game, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 21 points from Scotty Barnes, the rookie, in 40 minutes. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And then they also got double-digit scoring from the other two starters. Precious Achiuwa had a double-double, 10 points and 11 rebounds in 33 minutes. He had 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. and 11 points from Fred VanVleet. He was ice cold in this game. He was pretty much the only starter to be really inefficient. He was 3 of 14 from the field, 2 of 12 from beyond the arc, but he did have 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, and he was still plus 21 in the plus-minus. And off the bench for the Raptors, they got 13 points from Chris Boucher. In 20 minutes, he was 5 of 8 from the field, and he had 2 three-pointers, 8 rebounds. They got 2 points from Thad Young, but he was just 1 of 5 from the field. But he did have 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And then just 1 point for Kim Birch, and 1 point as well for the rookie, Delano Banton. And as for the Lakers, they were, of course, led by LeBron James. He had 30 points in 40 minutes. He was very efficient, 11 of 19 from the field. And he also had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and 4 three-pointers. He did have 5 turnovers, and he was negative 21 in the plus-minus. But nonetheless, like I said, the struggles for the Lakers have not been affecting LeBron's personal numbers. He is still putting up incredible stats, even at age 37. And then they did get 14 points from Russell Westbrook in 35 minutes, but he was just 4 of 10 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. 8 points for Malik Monk in 24 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And then just 3 points for Austin Reeves, the rookie, in 17 minutes. He was 1 of 7 from the field. And 2 points for Stanley Johnson in 15 minutes. Really disappointing output from those two. But off the bench for the Lakers, they got 20 points from Talen Horton-Tucker in 27 minutes. He was 8 of 13 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. And then they also got 14 points from the veteran Carmelo Anthony. He was only 3 of 10 from the field, but all of his makes came from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds. 6 points for Wayne Ellington. He had 2 three-pointers in 25 minutes. 4 for Avery Bradley. And 2 points for Winyon Gabriel. He was 1 of 8 from the field. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And despite the fact that we had 2 players score at least 45 points in Trae Young and Steph Curry, we know that the standout fantasy line of the night is going to be the NBA's season high from Karl-Anthony Towns with 60 points. But just to run through some of the other options, though, because there was some other incredible lines as well. So Nikola Jokic in the win over the 76ers had 22, 13, and 8 with 2 assists and two steals and 2 blocks. And then James Harden had 24 and 11 with 9 rebounds, 30 points and 12 assists for DeJounte Murray, 24 and 14 from Ivica Zubac, 29 points for Jrue Holiday, 30 from Giannis, 34 from Joel Embiid, 30 from Terry Rozier. Incredible lines across the NBA last night, but obviously it was going to be either Trae Young, Steph Curry, or Karl-Anthony Towns. Curry had 47 in 35 minutes over the Wizards. He had 6 rebounds and 6 assists. 46 points for Trae Young. He had 12 assists and 6 rebounds. But obviously, for standout line of the night, it's got to be Karl-Anthony Towns. He was incredible for the Timberwolves. 60 points, a career high for him, a franchise record for the Timberwolves, and a season high for any player in the league. He was 19 of 31 from the field. He had 7 three-pointers. He was 7 of 11 from beyond the arc. And then he was incredibly efficient from the free throw line as well, 15 of 16. And then he also had 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. Now, he didn't have any blocks and he had 6 turnovers. But nonetheless, the scoring was just off the charts for Karl-Anthony Towns. The 15 of 16 from the free throw line is just the cherry on top. And then the 17 rebounds as well. Absolutely an incredible fantasy performance. So Karl-Anthony Towns is your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Keldon Johnson for the Spurs. In 37 minutes, he had 34 points. He was 13 of 21 from the field. He had 5 three-pointers. He was 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. And he had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. That was it in terms of the box score. No steals or blocks, but he had 0 turnovers as well. So just a really efficient 34 from Keldon Johnson with 8 rebounds on the season. He is only averaging, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. So decent numbers. He's, like I said earlier, shooting 40% from 3 this season, which is really impressive. And this was obviously one of his highest scoring performances of his entire career. So really good game for Keldon Johnson for the Spurs. All right, and finally we can move on to our preview for tonight, Tuesday, March the 15th, and we've just got 4 games on in the NBA tonight. Starting off in Orlando, the Magic are taking on the Brooklyn Nets, and the Nets are big favorites. They're minus 10. In Indiana, the Pacers are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizz are minus 7.5. In Miami, the Heat are taking on the Detroit Pistons, and the Heat are minus 12.5. And finally, in New Orleans, the Pelicans take on the Phoenix Suns, and the Suns are minus 5.5. All right, so a couple of blowouts projected by Vegas with the two bottom teams in the Eastern Conference, Detroit and Orlando, in action. The Brooklyn Nets minus 10, I think, is going to be our best bet just because they should have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in the lineup, and when those two are playing for the Nets, they are just a really potent team offensively. The Magic have been plucky recently. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, but the Nets are on a three-game winning streak, and they're obviously going to be desperate to move up in the standings just a little bit because they would obviously prefer to not be in the playing game. I don't know if they're going to be able to get out of the playing game by the end of the season because they're four games back from the Cavaliers in sixth, but nonetheless, they will be trying. And like I said, they have just been on fire lately with Irving and Durant. So I'm going to take the Brooklyn Nets minus 10. It's a pretty big line, but I think they can cover it in Orlando. And that's going to be our only best bet for today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap those four games and to preview the action for Wednesday, March the 16th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.